John 3, 1 through 21. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evident that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. And Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for the fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. This is the word of the Lord.
Awesome. This conversation, recorded in John chapter 3, was with Jesus and this man named Nicodemus. We're told right at the beginning of that scripture passage that he was a religious leader. He was a Pharisee. When it says that he was a religious leader, it actually was talking about him being a part of the group called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were the very top folks in all of Israel. They not only were the religious leaders, this group of 70, but they were also the civic leaders for all of the nation of Israel. And Nicodemus was one of these guys. He would have been like a national senator or congressman or someone who of incredibly high stature, but not only in the nation, but in their church culture, their synagogue Jewish culture as well. And he thought he knew something. He exposes that right in the very first part of this scripture. And Karen, if you could put up, actually just hold on for a moment, but in the, go ahead and put up verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3, he said this. He says, "Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." See what he says? He says, "We all know this." See, he thought that he knew about how God worked. He thought he knew about how life worked. But here's the problem. When we think we know something, when we're convinced we already know, it's really hard to learn something new. And so over and over in this conversation, you hear Jesus going, "Hey, dude, you're like a leader in this country and you don't get it? How is that even possible?" But it's because he was already convinced that he knew how God worked. He already thought that he knew the ways of God. But oh boy, he did not. So he says, one of the things that he says here is that he says, your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Well, there's a problem with that. See, because in John chapter 1, the very first verses of John chapter 1, we discovered John's writing that it said that, that in the beginning was the Word, right? And it says that the Word was with God, but the Word was God. The Word was with God, but the Word was God. John was saying Jesus is not only with God, he is God. The problem here with what Nicodemus was seeing is he said, hey, we know you are kind of this guy that's with God. God is with you. But here's the issue. He only got it half right. We know that God is with you, but he didn't know that this man standing in front of him, Jesus Christ, was actually God himself. There's a problem when we think we know something, but it isn't the full truth. And that's where Nicodemus was caught. Jesus responds to him, and he says three different things here, and just go ahead and leave that up. I want you to look at that bottom line. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to mention that middle idea there that you cannot see. Jesus turns to one of the highest leaders in all of Israel and said, blind man, dude, you're walking in blindness. You cannot see what's going on here right in front of you. Uh-oh. He calls out Nicodemus as a blind man. This is like going to one of the highest leaders in the land and saying, dude, hey, how many fingers am I holding up? You cannot see what is going on. You're a blind man. You cannot see. Why did Jesus say that? Well, because he recognized that Nicodemus was trapped. He was trapped in his thinking by only being able to perceive which was physical in front of him. He said, because Nicodemus had said, hey, we know that you're with God because of the evidence of the miracles that you do. So I can see that something is happening, but he could not perceive with his spirit. He was trapped in only being able to perceive those things that were physical. Guess what? Nicodemus was kind of clueless, but a lot of the time so were we. A lot of times we're blind and we don't see because we're trapped by what we see only in the physical. Man, we see, a broken limb and we can't imagine how God would be able to repair that. We see the brokenness in our relationship that we have and all we see is the physical things. We hear the arguments. We see an addiction. We see those sort of things and we cannot see beyond it. But Jesus is saying, unless you're born again, you will always be blind to the things of my kingdom. You will always be blind to my ways if you're trapped in only being able to see things that are physical. Then he says that you're not going to be able to see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's a great question, and I think it's something that it would be worthy of taking a moment to talk about. What is the kingdom of God? Because the kingdom of God is talked about over and over and over by Jesus, especially in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Over 80 times we hear the reference of the kingdom of God throughout the New Testament, over 80 times. So what is this kingdom of God? More than being a place, it's wherever God is in charge. Wherever God is in charge, that's the kingdom of God. A bunch of years ago, I was thinking about this idea of kingdom and recognized that there's another kingdom that we celebrate. It's called the Magic Kingdom, right? You ever heard of the Magic Kingdom? More commonly known as? Disneyland. Hey, yes, the Magic Kingdom. See, I believe that if we can capture something about the Magic Kingdom, we can actually learn something about what the kingdom of God looks like. See, the Magic Kingdom was created by a guy named Walt. Yeah? And he had this vision, he had this dream, he had this desire. He was motivated to create a unique and special place that would represent him and his dreams and his visions fully. And you know what? He did a really good job of it. I mean, when you walk into Disneyland, you are seeing the very vision that Walt had of what this amazing place would be for you and your family. And so people, you know, around the world have flocked to Disneyland since, what, the 1950s or 50 what? 55. Wow, it's a long time. 55. People have flocked there because there's this special magic kingdom that he's created that is beautiful and is so special and unique because it captured the vision of this guy named Walt. In fact, we've been talking about the ways of Jesus, but when you walk into Disneyland, you're experiencing the ways of Walt. It's wherever he conceived of something, he made it happen. There's nothing happens in Disneyland that is not part of their vision, their desire, their culture. That doesn't happen. Now, just the way that Disneyland is the magic kingdom and expresses that Walt is in charge of all of those things that go on there. The very same way in the kingdom of God, it's wherever that God is in charge. It's wherever we are following the ways of Jesus. And just the way the magic kingdom has expanded since 1955, it's now you can go to parks in 6 different cities around the world. In fact, did you know that in 2016 that Disney Shanghai opened? Did you know that there is a Disney environment? Because Walt's kingdom is expanding. Wherever his vision is being carried out and the ways of Walt are being followed, that's part of the magic kingdom. But I'm here to tell you something, that wherever people are following after the ways of Jesus, God's kingdom expands. The kingdom of God. Karen, would you put up that next slide? The kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God is where the ways of the world, all of my ways, are in full submission to his ways, to the ways of Jesus. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is in charge. It's not a place, it's a reality. It's not a place, it's a reality that we can walk into anytime we say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. All of the ways of man, all of the ways of my life, my heart, are in full submission to yours. So instead of greed, ways of the world, maybe even the ways of Walt, I don't know, we see generosity and giving. Oh, wow, so wherever we see generosity, it's representing something of the kingdom of God. Whenever we see hate, and by the way, there's something in the news right now about a lot of hate going on in our country. Can I tell you that what we are seeing represented on the news regarding ethnic and racial hatred will never be part of the ways of Jesus? It is in direct conflict because it is the way of the world, not the way of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because the kingdom of God will always be, in the ways of Jesus, will be loving, will be kind, will be gentle, will be accepting, includes people, not excludes people, embraces people, not smashing them in the teeth. The kingdom of God is wherever that the ways of the world come under the ways of Jesus. Amen? Now let's tie that together, and then we're going to get to a latter part of the scripture. You're blind to the ways of Jesus. You're blind to the kingdom of God if you have not been born again. So Jesus introduces this idea that kind of just trips Nicodemus all up. Born again, what is this? Now, I'm going to bypass a bunch of my notes in the middle that were really, really good to get to something that is so crucial, because we've been talking, and cut to the slide with all the five little images. In our conversations through the book of John, we have been tracing five different themes about the ways of Jesus. And they're represented by these little ideas. The light bulb represents that the ways of Jesus are illuminated by God. I want to bring that up because, listen, Jesus is not bashing on or hating on Nicodemus. He is trying to illuminate his ways, right? He's shining the light on truth here. The next thing we see is the key, that the ways of Jesus are accessed by faith, not by sight. And that was the problem, because Nicodemus was trapped by sight. And Jesus is saying, you're never going to see the kingdom of God. You're never going to see my ways when you're trapped in a way of thinking that you're blinded by only being able to see the things that are physical right in front of you. Accessed by faith. The third thing that we see, the boxing glove, that reminds us that the ways of Jesus are in conflict with our ways. They're in conflict with the ways of the world, because there is a kingdom of man, and it is in conflict with the kingdom of God, right? The fourth thing there is a road with guardrails, because we're reminded time and time again in the book of John that the ways of Jesus are always marked by clear boundaries. There's not many ways to God. There's one way. His name is Jesus. He said, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's clear boundaries on his ways. We can't just make it up as we go. And the last one is that infinity symbol, because the ways of Jesus are always leading to eternal life. When we follow our ways, when we follow the kingdom of man, the kingdom of the world, it always leads to brokenness, it always leads to death, it always leads to the strife and the hatred that we're seeing right now in the news, right? Man, but the ways of Jesus, they're always leading to eternal life. I wanted to remind us of this one more time, because now go ahead and put up verse 16. Jesus walks Nicodemus through an understanding of what it means to be born again. Because, man, Nicodemus was stuck. As you heard Amelia read, you heard, you know, him say, I don't even get this. And Jesus, I mean, what do you mean you don't get this? You're a religious leader. You should understand these things. But Jesus came to illuminate his ways. And so what he did for Nicodemus was so kind, is that he very quickly, in these three verses, John 16, 17, and 18, Jesus unpacks for him what it means to be born again, which is really important, because if you're not born again, you're going to stay blind and not be able to see God's ways in his kingdom. So he says this, and you see these little icons, because in these three verses, you're going to see all of these ideas represented in these three verses. So John 3, 16, for God loved the world so much that he gave. He sent his son to show us the way, to illuminate the truth, to illuminate his ways. He did not come to keep things in secret or in the dark. He came to bring the light, right? It's why God sent Jesus. So we see the little light bulb there. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. So there's the road right there marked with clear boundaries, because Jesus is not the one of many. He's the one and only. It's actually, that little phrase has become one of my favorite as I've been studying through the book of John, is to refer to Jesus as the one and only. It's two times in John chapter 1 is that phrase is used, the one and only. And right here in these words, Jesus uses about himself two times. I'm the one and only. Jesus, God gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him, There's the key, access through faith, right? Nicodemus, it's not by sight. It's not what you can see and perceive. It's through faith in me. Will not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. There's that infinity symbol, right? It is life that begins now, but it is life that goes on forever. Verse 17. For God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, or in other translations, not to condemn, right? But to save the world through him. And here we see conflict. As Jesus is pointing out, the way of the world leads to judgment. You expect God to come throwing lightning bolts, but that is not why I've come. That is a wrong perception. And Nicodemus, actually, that's your perception because you're this religious leader, part of the Sanhedrin, right? Mm-hmm. You believe in the law. Everything given in the Old Testament pointed towards God as our judge. But then Jesus comes to bring a new way that is not from the first covenant, but there is a new covenant, and it is a covenant of grace. It is a covenant of mercy. It is a covenant of faith, not works. You can't earn your way into this, Nicodemus. And when you get stuck in your religious perceptions, there is conflict here. Because I did not come to judge you like you think I did. I came to save you, to heal you from spiritual blindness, to walk you all the way into eternal life. And then verse 18, Karen. And then he says this, and it's so beautiful. Usually we stop at verse 16. Maybe we get to 17, but man, verse 18 is so powerful. There is no judgment, Nicodemus. Or you can insert your own name there. There is no judgment, Tim, against anyone who believes, who accesses the kingdom of God through faith. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing. And here again, we see that conflict. The conflict rooted in the fact that, hey, there are two real ways to live life here. You either believe in him or you don't. And those two things are in conflict. You cannot play around with God or think that you have all the answers on your own and not expect there to be conflict with the kingdom of God. Because there's a whole different approach here. Anyone who does not believe in him has already been condemned. I don't bring condemnation. You're condemning yourself because you are living in conflict with me and my ways. I don't want you to, but you have chosen a way of conflict with me. And then he says, they've already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son, the one and only. You may wonder what happened to Nicodemus, because he was a man who was blind. But in the very last verses of the book of John, go ahead and put up John 19. I want you to see something that's beautiful. Because you may wonder, what happened to this guy? Did he stay blind? What was going on? But listen to this. John 19. So we're cutting through stuff. Jesus was on the cross. He'd already died. And we pick up these verses right here. Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. Next verse. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made with myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. Did Nicodemus stay blind? There's only two men that we know of that actually were touched by the blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus that bought our forgiveness. One, his name was Joseph of Arimathea, who went to Pilate and said, could we take Jesus' body down off of the cross? And the other was this guy, Nicodemus. You can imagine how bloodied Jesus was hanging on the cross. He'd already been whipped to shreds. A crown of thorns pressed down and beat onto his head. Blood pouring down, coming from him, and then spikes driven through his hands and his feet, affixing him to this cross. And these two men go to the cross and remove him. They would have had Jesus' blood all over them as they would have taken and washed him and taken these spices and wrapped it and come entombing him. Nicodemus came to realize something along the way, that he didn't want to be blind anymore. He did not want to be blind to the fact that I've been operating only by what I could see. But to enter into the ways of Jesus, to enter into the kingdom of God, I have to be born again. I have to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in what you did for me on the cross. I cannot get there on my own. I need you. I need a Savior. I cannot be my own Savior. And I believe that he came to that realization and literally was touched by the blood of Jesus. How about you? Let's pray. Jesus, I believe that many of my friends here this morning, Lord, have been touched by your blood. Lord, because they have said, Jesus, I believe in you. I have accessed your ways, your kingdom. Lord, by faith in you, by putting my trust in you rather than myself, there's many here that have already said, I know that I cannot be my own Savior. I need a Savior. His name is Jesus. Man, we can't read John chapter 3 without asking, though. Man, if there's anybody here, he would say, you know what, I'm not sure that I am born again. I'm not sure that I've ever experienced this newness of life in God because I've been trapped in my own ways of thinking. But I promise you, friends, until you put your full trust and faith in him, you're walking in blindness. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just speaking what Jesus said. You can't see Jesus' ways. You can't see the kingdom of God without first being born again, without putting your trust in him. And if there's any today that to say, I need that. I need to say yes to Jesus. I need to accept him as my Savior. I need the blood that he shed on the cross to be applied to my life, to cleanse me from all my sin, all my stuff, all my brokenness. Jesus, I receive you. And if there's anybody that wants to say yes to that today, would you stick your hand up and look up at me and say, that's me today? Ladies, I agree with you. Guys, man, I agree with you today. Yeah, bro, I agree with you. Jesus has made a way. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm proud of you, man. Anybody else that says today is my day? Yeah. So thankful for what God's doing in your life. Now, Jesus, these new friends of mine, Lord, that are just saying yes to you. God, I pray now that you would open their eyes to your ways like they've never seen before. That God, that you would pour out your love. You would pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Lord, we already know from your word that you will cleanse from all sin, all unrighteousness. Lord, when we say yes to you. So God, I thank you for that. That these new friends, Lord, are wrapped up in your arms and in your grace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you say thank you to what God has done for us?